they will be back on the following Monday. Joe will be with us at the meetings during the week, next week, and then the Easter Conference. Joe, along with Nate Bramson, will be the speakers. So pray for Joe and Ann as they minister the word here and as they go next weekend to Dallas, Texas. next, I guess 2 weeks from today will be our Easter Conference. The brochures are at the back, plan to be there. There will be a fellowship class next Sunday, and I think those are the basic announcements. Phyllis Aiken continues to be very, very weak in Victoria, but she is still with us, so pray regarding her as well. I think those are all the announcements. Now, Brother Joe.
Christians are different, aren't they? It's a question. Christians are different, aren't they? Let me ask you a question I don't want anybody to answer, but just in your own mind and in your own heart. Is there true salvation without repentance? Is there true salvation without conversion? We don't hear much about that word anymore. We hear a lot about commitment, which is not necessarily in the scriptures, but conversion is in the scriptures, to be converted. Is there true salvation without new life? Is there true salvation without lasting change? Christians are different, aren't they? Two little boys were going to deceive a wise old man who had all the answers for everything. So they knew he was so wise, they decided they would trick him. And so they found a baby bird, just a little bird in the nest. And they stole the baby bird. And the two little boys went to the wise old man. He was sitting on his front porch rocking in a chair like most wise old men do. And he was approached by these two little boys. One little boy had his hand behind his back like this. And he said, "Wise old man, I have a bird in my hand. My question to you is it alive or is it dead?" Now, the little boy had a plan. If the old man said, "It's alive," he was just going to squeeze it and kill it. And if the wise old man said, "Well, it's dead," he's going to say, "No, you're wrong. Look, it's alive." And so he approached the wise old man and he said, "I have the bird. Is it alive or is it dead?" Well, the wise old man rocked and he rocked and he thought and he thought. And finally, the wise old man said, "It's whatever you want it to be," he said. That's the way our Christian life is, folks. It's whatever you want it to be. The scriptures give myriads of information about what we as Christians are to do. But you must make the decision. Number one, whether you will be a Christian. And number two, will you act like, look like, live like, talk like a Christian? Christians are different, aren't they? We'll take our text from Romans chapter 12. Book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. As you're turning there, let me say this. as new creatures in Christ, we are born again. We have a new life. That life has its roots in the very person of Christ himself. He is our life. This all begins with a new nature that we receive the very moment we receive Christ. He comes in to us. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our heart and in our lives. This is where the change from within starts. From this change within, our lives are transformed outwardly. To take on outward change from the world around us is part of this great transforming work. However, inward change has to occur. Without transformation, change from within, there is no assurance that indeed salvation has been truly experienced. Now, in the book of Romans, where we have turned chapter 12 and verse number 2, it talks about transformation. You see, without true transformation, we can never know the will of God, and others will never know that we are really God's own. Transformation is necessary. Let me read the first two verses for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to focus this morning and the time allowed to us on this transformation. Transformation. The first thing I'd like to say about it, it's not optional. You don't say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be transformed. I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be changed. Now, there are two thoughts given in these two verses, and they're really unique. One is there in verse 2, we're not to be conformed, but we're to be transformed. We are not to be conformed to this world. That means we are not to pattern our life after the world. Christians don't take their cue cards from Hollywood or Wall Street. We follow the Word of God. We say the Bible is the final authority for our life. And things are different for the Christian. We have different ways, we have different motives, we have different attitudes, we have different ambitions. We're not to be conformed, that is, in our outward appearance, to be like the world around us. Now, we can't help it if sometime the world is in fashion. That's okay. For the Christian, that is. So we don't have to do the opposite of what the world does. But most of the time, the world is not in fashion with the Word of God. And so we don't do what the world does. We don't cheat. We don't lie. We don't deceive. We are honest. If we work for an employer, we work 8 hours. We don't cheat on our hours. We don't cheat on our breaks. If we're a student, we don't cheat at school. We set an example. We are living like Christ. Christians are different. We fill out our income tax honestly. We do what we should do because we're not going to be conformed to the world. One of our problems, we have three children, and I think I told you last week, all married, and we have 13 grandchildren now. But when our children were at home and we were raising them, one of the continual arguments is from the children, well, everybody else does it. Well, we're not going to do it just because everybody else does it. There's a lot of pressure on young people today to be conformed to the society. Oh, not only young people. How about adults? Why do we have the big house, and why do we drive the big car, and why do we have the big screen, and why do we do what we do? Because everybody else is doing it. The scriptures are against that. Do not be conformed to this world and the society in which we live around us. That is the change from without. But the command now, notice, it's not optional, it's a command. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, I found some interesting things about this. First of all, it's a command. The word transform now is different. It means this, a change of character and conduct. A change from one form into another form. That is, what I was is now past and I am something different. I have been transform. But something else I want you to notice about this. This word is in what we call the passive tense. In other words, the writer is not saying, now you transform yourself. Well, he didn't say that at all. He said, you be transformed. So in other words, there is an influence that is working in my life, and I am to allow that influence to do something. It's like when James says, let patience have its perfect work. This is something I allow the things of life to do to make me be patient. I am to let it happen to me. Where you are to be transformed, you are to allow this outside force coming in to adjust your life. Morally, spiritually, your vision, your thinking, to what? To the mind of God, of course. To be transformed to be what you want God to do in your life. God has a plan, and you allow him to do that. Now, notice this. A transformation is not an act. It's a process. Watch how it works. Verse 2 again. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mr. Newton might have discovered gravity, and he said, what goes up will come down. You know, gravity is a natural law. Unless there's some other outside influence working, if you jump off this building 100 times, you're going to go down 100 times because that's gravity. That's a natural law. Well, there's another law. It's a spiritual law. And that law says what comes in is going to come out. What I put in my heart is going to come out. Many, many years ago now, I remember on a Saturday night watching a movie. I don't recommend that you do that as a believer. Matter of fact, I recommend, if at all possible, you give yourself to the reading of the Word of God and thinking about the Son of God, so you can prepare yourself for Sunday morning. But I watched a movie. And the movie was called Moby Dick. It was about this white whale and about Captain Ahab. And it was a great movie, you know. But I found out the next morning when I went to remember the Lord Jesus, I couldn't remember the Lord. All I could remember was Moby Dick, you know. Now, that's the process. This is what I'm talking about. What we occupy our minds and our hearts with are how we're going to think. Now, the more I occupy myself with the Word of God, the more I read the Word of God, the more the Word of God is going to do something. It's going to transform my life. It is a process. Now, way back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're not going to turn there, but there's all kinds of instructions given to the Israelites about this very thing. You see, they were told to take every available means, or wherever they walked, wherever they looked, whatever they saw, whatever they thought, it was to be garrisoned about the Word of God. Now think about it. Total saturation. If you get up in the morning, you read the Word of God. If through the day you think about God, if you think about His Word, if you pray about that, the next thing you know, that's going to have an effect on your life. And the more consistently you do that, the more consistently you're going to be changed. Little by little. Precept upon precept. A little bit here, a little bit there. Listen, if you have a Christian home, you ought to have Christian books. You ought to have literature. You ought to have Bibles. You ought to have every available mean, whether it's something on a DVD or something in a magazine. You ought to have good Christian things all around. Put plaques on the wall. Put things in your desk. Have things by your bed so that you are going to be totally saturated with the Word of God. And this is called the renewing of your mind. Getting your mind and your thoughts away from things that distract you and occupying yourself with the things of God. Now, someone has suggested that the mind is how we see things, how we understand them, the faculties of feeling and judging and determining. Do you know if you never read your Bible, if you never think about God, maybe you come to church now and then, or even on a Sunday morning, but the rest of the week that you don't do anything like that, your judgment is going to be distorted. You're not going to have the mind of Christ. You're not going to know what God wants you to do. You see, over the years, being a traveling preacher, one of the most common questions that I have been asked, and in particular by young people, what is God's will for my life? Now, I smile and try to look very spiritual about that time, you know. I'm thinking to myself, I'm working on God's will for me. How do you think I'd ever know what it is for you? That's what I'm thinking. But I try to give a better answer than that. You see, if you want to know the will of God, you must read the Word of God. You must listen to the Word of God. You must study the Word. You say, that takes too long. Well, then you're not going to know the will of God. You're going to start taking your cue cards from Hollywood. That's what you're going to do. You're going to start reading the newspaper, and you're going to start watching the news, and they're going to conform you to their image. That's what's going to happen. And you must fight the good fight. You must let the Word of God transform your life. So you see, first of all, it's a command, transformation, this change. Secondly, you are to allow it to happen to you. Transformation is not an act. It's a process, the renewing of your mind. But now notice this, it's not without a purpose. Why are Christians different? You say, Christians don't have any fun. They can't go anywhere, and they can't do anything, and they can't join in any fun, and they're just different. Well, folks, there's a lot of things that the world calls fun that I used to think was fun. I don't think that's fun anymore. I think it's stupid, actually. Before I became a Christian, I thought a real man could drink a bottle of whiskey and take drugs and drive fast cars and be macho. You know what I think about those people today? They're dumb. They're stupid. They're not real men or women at all. They're living on crutches. They're living on self-ego. They're living in deceit and lies. They don't know what life is all about. Let me tell you, the real man and the real woman is the one who trusts in God, who reads the Word of God and allows the Word of God to transform their lives into something beautiful, something real, something meaningful, something satisfying. I can't do that myself. I'm not told to transform my life, but I am told to let the Word of God renew my mind for a purpose. Notice the purpose now. Here's the purpose, again in verse 2, that by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how I'm going to know God's will. You say, well, where should I go to school? And what job should I take? And should I buy that house? And I don't know what to do. Read the Word of God. You say, well, it's not in there. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'll give you a little hint. You start, most of you have computers or some kind of Bible programs or some ways to look up things. Just start by looking up will of God. See what the Bible says about the will of God. See what the Bible says about well-pleasing to God. I mean, the lists are like this, pages and pages. You say, well, I still don't know what. Listen, when you start thinking like Jesus thinks, when you start discerning like God's Word tells you to do, all of a sudden you realize the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He will direct your steps. You will have peace about what you are to do. Oh, listen, I know all of us pray like this. Oh, God, give me a sign. Open a door. Open a window. Do something miraculous. Please lead me in a plain path. I don't know what to do. Please help me. Help me. And you know what the Word of God says? I condemn myself as I now challenge you. You know what the Word of God says about all that? The just shall live by faith. I don't need any signs. I don't need any doors. I don't need any windows. I don't need any feelings. I don't need any goosebumps. I don't need to cry. I don't need to shout hallelujah. Those things in themselves are not wrong, but I don't need that. I have one thing that I need to please God. Without it, I cannot please Him. You know what that is? Faith. You say, what is faith? Faith is simply this. Get it, and you'll be done with it. Faith is reading this book and choosing to believe it. Reading this book and choosing to live it. That is faith. Someone says, I have faith. And you say, well, what is it? Well, I don't know. I just have it, you know. No. The Christian's not like that. Somebody says, do you have faith? I say, yes. Said, show me your faith. Watch me. Walk with me today. Analyze my life. Listen to my words. I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you that I believe. I will show you that I'm walking with God. Oh, I stumble, I fall, but I get up and I go again and I thank Him for His forgiveness. But I live by faith and I allow this transforming work of the Word of God bombarding my heart and my mind and my soul day after day after day, and it's going to accomplish something. I'm going to know the will of God in my life. How do we know the will of God? In this text, three things. Number one, a yielded body. That's verse 1. Present yourself to God. Number 2, a separated life. Don't be conformed, be transformed. Number 3, allowing the Word of God to transform my life. I did a quick study on the different kinds of minds in the Bible. Your mind, listen to this just in closing quickly. These are some that I looked up. I can give you references afterwards. A change mind, a right mind, a doubtful mind, a ready mind, a humble mind, a reprobate mind, a warring mind, a carnal mind, a high mind, a willing mind, a vain mind, an earthly mind, a hostile mind, a sound mind, a defiled mind, a pure mind, a sane mind, one mind, sober mind, double mind, lowly mind, renewed mind, fervent mind, fully persuaded mind, godly mind, mind of Christ, transformed, renewed mind. They're all over the place. What's in your mind? What occupies your mind? Because whatever it does is going to transform you into that. Let the Word of God transform your mind. And you know what will happen? You'll be a different Christian. Christians are different, aren't they? Let's pray. Father, we